The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, we got to address one thing.
All right.
Okay, just getting some input, and it's something that we haven't brought up because it was debunked yesterday. One of the first people to debunk it was a conservative newspaper, the Washington Examiner, and this was on the fact that Kavanaugh's mother, Judge Kavanaugh's mother, foreclosed on Ford's parents' home.
Right.
That is not accurate. That did not happen. So the Washington Examiner went through the entire case. They wrote an article yesterday on it and said she was just one of the number of lawyers in it. In fact, the only thing you can say about her is she's actually one of the judges that dismissed the foreclosure case against them. And at that point, they were able to keep their home. So the home was never taken from them. And she wasn't involved in trying to take the home away from them. So apparently we've had a ton of calls and people, you know, you guys are missing we're not missing anything. We didn't bring it up because it's a non-issue to the debate right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was debunked sometime yesterday afternoon. I saw that a bunch of different websites had it, you know, that, and then somebody actually went through all the legal forms and actually what happened in that particular case and said, well, no, people aren't reading it right. Her name appears in it, but she was just one of a number of judges involved in the case. They didn't foreclose on the home, and she actually dismissed the case with prejudice, meaning the case couldn't be brought up to foreclose on the home again.
Right.
So that would take that out as a motivation of Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we didn't bring it up. So, and just we got informed though we're getting a ton of people. Why aren't you guys bringing that up? Because it's been debunked.
It's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue. That's why. So, we weren't trying to hide anything.
No.
Secretly, it's going on is secretly.
Well,
we want him out, and we want a clone of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in there.
Yeah. Because we know that if it were legitimate, because Democrats only bring up legitimate issues, that the Democrats in the Senate would address it. Because they only bring up legitimate issues. We trust them to bring up only legitimate issues.
Ah. Well, you want to hear two former girlfriends of the Supreme Court nominee.
Okay.
We're on with Martha McCallum on Monday night on Fox News.
Hmm. By the way, you said during the break you could probably never be seated on the Supreme Court, you know, because of this kind of vetting. Actually, that's not true. You don't have anything, such thing as two former girlfriends. So there's that.
You know, that was, that
would be the controversy. We find it strange that you've had no girlfriends. We find it strange you have few friends today. We can't find anybody that knows you, Mr. McNamara.
And see, my point was going to be, that's an unsubstantiated allegation that you have brought
me?
Up.
Yeah.
Yet you made the allegation on the show, so many people are going to believe that.
Yeah. Well, I believe her.
That I never had more than two girlfriends. Now the audience is going to believe that.
Right. As they should.
See? And it was
but only because they believe the truth. Man, I should run for office.
It's an unsubstantiated allegation. And see? And yet got this public airing now.
Well, I believe her.
Believe
your one
who?
Girlfriend.
Oh, my one.
Your one girlfriend.
So the point you're trying to make is, if I only had one, I dated her for a long time because she had to be one exceptional woman.
Right, exactly. There you go. Good answer. You should also run for office.
Well, wow. See, I didn't get upset. I simply answered the question.
Or you should go on a dating website. That's a really good answer. There you go.
I did see the ad
for talk show hosts only.
Which I did. Oh my jeez!
Yeah.
You mentioned that website.
Well, okay. Yeah,
I did. I did laugh the other day at there's an ad out for elitesingles.com.
Right,
elitesingles. It's like,
yes.
Really now?
Right. Have your butler log on today.
I've never been on a dating website in my life.
Your personal assistant will quickly find many people with personal assistants that would like to talk to your personal assistant about possibly setting up a date in the future if you have time in your busy schedule.
And therefore, you set up a new dating service, personal assistance to the elites.com.
That's right.
I would love to go on that. If I had nothing else to do in my day, I would love to go on that website just to see the people that are on there.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't going to go on Farmers Only? No.
Yeah.
Elite Singles? That's for me.
Farmers Only. Wait, should I date with somebody who has lots of money?
Lovey, I'm going on, I'm sorry, to bring up Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
For anybody under 80.
Exactly.
Gilligan's Island was a show. What was the other thing I wanted to? The other thing that I wanted to bring up that I saw over vacation. Oh man, it was
dating websites.
No, it was something about something I saw on TV. No, it wasn't dating websites. So, something, but I did see the Elite Singles, which just I burst out laughing. It was just like, wow.
Well, here's the thing: for loners only. Or don't do anything. Don't respond to this ad. Ever. Thank you. Leave me alone.
For loners.
Leave me alone. You leave me alone. No, you leave me
alone.
Whatever
happened to that person? Remember the person that married themselves? Did that work out?
No. They got a divorce.
Did they?
Yep. And each of them got, each of the one person got half of everything.
It was a woman. Remember the woman that was marrying herself?
Right. Yes.
And she had friends over and I'm marrying myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's pretty narcissistic, isn't it?
Well, the ceremony was conducted by a psychologist, so I don't know. Maybe it worked.
So I want to. The whole point was the two ex-girlfriends,
right?
Judge Kavanaugh was on Fox News last night. Here's part of that back and forth.
Had a beer. He was always in complete control, and he was actually one of the guys that, if we were at a social gathering, he'd be the guy to look out for other people. He was always in control.
So, Maura Kane, they've already dredged up, you know, things that were written in high school yearbooks. He talks about something about kegs and, some liquor reference. A lot of people write those kind of things in high school yearbooks. But tell me your recollection. Did you ever see him, you know, out of control, drunk, in a situation where he might not have remembered what he was doing?
No, not at all. We did drink beer in high school. Back then, the drinking age in Washington was 18.
You never saw him drink a beer in high school, ever?
So, no, we did. Yeah, we did.
Oh, you did?
No,
I thought you said
did
you
drink beer.
Okay, just to be clear.
No, we drank beer. It was legal, so we did drink beer. But I never saw him out of control, drunk. He always retained his composure. He was a responsible guy. He was someone who did have a beer, but he was never out of control. He never became someone different after drinking.
Maura Fitzgerald, did you know this woman? You both went to the same high school. He went to sort of the brother high school to that, Georgetown Prep. She went to a different high school. Do you know this woman, Christine Blasey Ford?
I do not, and I actually don't even recognize the name.
What about you, Maura Kane? Any recollection at all of ever seeing her at any party?
Yes, I did know who she was. I had seen her at parties. She went to a different school, but I knew who she was, but I did not know her well. We were not friends. I just knew who she was.
All right. And you both dated him. You know, I'm sure he dated several people. Most people do through high school and college. So Maura Fitzgerald, you know, was he ever physically aggressive to you? What was he like as a boyfriend?
No, he was nothing but kind and polite and respectful. I dated him. I've known him since high school. I dated him briefly in college, and we've remained close friends ever since. I cherish his friendship. He has just been such a stand-up guy, full of integrity. I admire him. He never exhibited to me or anyone else that I know, not with anything, treated no one with disrespect.
Do either of you know the other friend who was supposedly with him that night, Mr. Judge?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you both know him. Do you have any recollection of this party?
No.
No.
I don't know anything about the party.
A party at a pool house, you know, somewhere near the club where everybody used to hang out. No recollection of that night.
No. No. I'd never heard of any of that, anything about that party until this week.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem like anybody knows the house even, or where that.
Right.
Again, Martha was talking about what I had brought up earlier, because I had brought up it was at the pool house near the club where they all hung out, and everybody's like, we don't even know where that is, would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Right.
Because you would think by now, with the way that the media is behind this, that you would have already seen a picture of the house of where it happened.
Yes.
Right? I mean, wouldn't that be the logical thing of what
right.
you would...
Right, well, because you would
if you're
want
investigating
to, because
this, right.
If you're looking into this, you want to, especially in the media, you're going to want to provide some kind of visual, right? You're creating the scenario, especially in the left media. You're creating the scenario.
Here's where it happened.
Here's where it happened.
Right.
So you have...
Allegedly.
Exactly. So here's the scenario right now. You have the accuser talking to the Washington Post. The first thing you would do is, well, tell us where that is. If you're in the media, and as we said, when that hit in the Post, everybody else in the media, okay, what can we add to this? What else can we learn about this, right? So let's pursue this. Where did she say it was? Well, she says it happened here, in this pool house near the club. Okay. Then where would that be? Get a visual. Find it. I mean, that would be the assignment.
I can see it. It was in that upstairs bedroom.
Yes,
I can see the picture
where
outside
says,
where she said the
yes,
incident
right,
happened.
Right. You're trying to create right. something real in the minds of the viewer in television. And so far, we haven't seen that. Maybe we will later today. Don't know. But at least these witnesses are saying, no, we don't know where that would be. They're not familiar with it. So here's the concern. So what does this really get down to? It gets down to a few votes. Confirmation votes. It's not about Cory Booker. It's not about Dianne Feinstein. It's about those few votes that could be swayed. Collins, Murkowski, Flake. So in that scenario, or pressuring the nominee to bow out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, put the political pressure on that is so big, so huge, that he has no choice but to bow out. But really, it comes down, and I suspect that's not going to happen. But it comes down to those votes. So what would it take in order to influence the votes? Well, she's going to have to be very, very, very believable, because she's carrying the weight of, in a situation like this, normally requires more than one person. In order to be believable, and I'm not talking about for the Cory Bookers or Dianne Feinstein or anybody on the left, they're going to say they believe her, and it doesn't matter whether they believe her or not. But for those where the vote could change, those few votes, she's going to have to carry the believability, the credibility of more than one person, because typically in a situation, it requires that to demonstrate a pattern of behavior to wreck the personal reputation of someone like Kavanaugh.
Right, because the single allegation in itself, without any corroborating witnesses or evidence in itself, in my opinion, I would agree with you, is not going to be enough.
It's not going
no
to
matter
be,
what
it,
the,
it, it's
no
not
matter
going
what the
to
circus is. You would need, as we have seen from experience of politicians,
yep,
that it's when there's a succession of women who come forward,
yes,
of wrongdoing.
Then you're adding to the believability factor of it. I don't know if that would be enough to change the votes, but I'm going to tell you, I believe it's going to require more than what is there at this moment.
866-90-RED-EYE.
It's crucial that you keep your truck and yourself cool. One of the most important parts of your AC system is the condenser. This component is responsible for cooling the refrigerant as it's discharged from the compressor. One of the best ways to maximize the performance of your condenser is to keep it clean. If a condenser has dust, dirt, or a buildup of insects on it, it will not perform properly. In order to keep your condenser clean, you can take a mild cleaning solution like Simple Green and spray it on the condenser. Allow it to sit for 30 minutes and then rinse it off with a low-pressure water hose. Keep your condenser clean now to avoid any troubles later. If you experience any AC issues, stop into a truck service location so you can stay cool the rest of the summer.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90 Red Eye, and we were just having a good conversation about the actual voting when it comes to the Senate, and we've been talking about the Republicans, talking about Murkowski and Collins and Jeff Flake, and Flake has already said that he would support him before,
right?
So, but you know, Murkowski and Collins, yes. And the Republicans can only lose one vote. That's if all Democrats vote against Kavanaugh.
Right.
When it comes to that point. And so you made a great point talking about Manchin and Heitkamp.
Right. And Donnelly.
Right.
These are three Democrats in red states. So they've got the Trump supporters in their states that are furious that this is happening.
Yes.
All three of them, though, have called for an investigation into this matter, a further investigation into this matter. That doesn't necessarily translate just yet into a no vote on Kavanaugh. But it really comes back down to what? Okay, investigating, everybody wants a thorough investigation. That's easy enough to say. That's one of those middle ground, neutral things that you can say and sound noble while saying it, right? But when you look at the very dynamics of what this is about, for those in particular, you have Donnelly, you have Heitkamp, you have Manchin. All are up for re-election in Trump country. They're red states. Do you, and they can't take one, you couldn't, if you do something like this, you cannot deny the voter and the concern of your constituents in order to align yourself with the party. I mean, frankly, that's kind of, why we're talking about them in the first place. They are in red states. So where do they go on this? Because forget about your Collins, Murkowski, and Jeff Flake on the Republican side. You've got to also look at those Democrats who could have some real influence in this. And those three specifically are three that could change this whole thing. Where do they go?
And is the pressure actually greater on them when the vote does come because of the motivation that it will give Trump supporters?
They apologize for nothing. Red Eye Radio.
Andy, I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Carley. So what's going on in Syria? The Russian spy plane shot down?
Some breaking news over the last half hour or so. Been trying to get more details and just got an update here from the Sun UK. Russia says there was a military plane that they had over Syria, and it was a spy plane, and it was shot down, 14 on board. It was shot down by Syrian forces. But Russia is blaming Israel for pushing this plane into the line of fire. So trying to get some more details, and we will pass them along with some breaking news. Again, a Russian spy plane with 14 servicemen on board was, they say, accidentally blown out of the sky by their Syrian allies. And they say they blame Israel for pushing this plane into the line of fire there over Latakia, Syria.
Let's head right to you. We go to John in Maryland. John, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show as we talk about Kavanaugh and his accuser.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Listen to it every morning as I drive to the swamp to go to work.
Thank you.
Watched the news yesterday and was listening to see if I heard this angle. What I hear is that Dianne Feinstein has fell out of favor in California, and I think she's looking for a way to get back into favor with everybody. So she had this little nugget that she kind of held in her pocket till last minute. Now she let it out, and you watch how everybody's coming to her defense, and she's kind of their golden girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had brought that up earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it was a political stunt that she was pulling to get into the good graces again.
Right. Now, she will learn and may already know, John, that that's not going to last very long. Even if this effort is successful, she's not going to be, she's not the future of the party. They have made that very, very clear. She's not socialist enough. And so, you know, she'll have to go learn socialism all over again.
She is for us.
Yes. Oh, yeah. For our standards, yes. No, she's going to be dismissed again by the party very soon, I'm sure.
Right. The next thing I see in the news coming out this morning is going to be that Schumer is going to complain that Trump released the FISA information to cause a distraction to the Kavanaugh issue.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Wow. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks,
I like
John.
That's really good.
Yeah. No, that's going to happen. And if it hasn't happened already, it will happen again. I'm certain over the, you know, next day or two, and how dare the president interfere with something like this. It's all just a distraction. It's all just a distraction because transparency is just a distraction. The Democratic Party, where transparency is just a distraction. Yep. Yep. But the American people will know the truth, hopefully very soon.
We go to Mo in Tucson, Arizona. Mo, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi, Mo.
Morning. Hi. We stream your show because we don't pick it up in Tucson, so I pick it up out of the Big 820.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
And I just wanted to tell you I enjoy your show every night as I get up and get ready to go to work. But I wanted to roll this past you, and I'm sure maybe you've thought of this, maybe not. Hmm. Those three Democrats are going to fall in because they have to protect their district, but they're going to have to wait, and the Republicans carry the vote for Kavanaugh. Then they'll vote for him because Schumer will let him at that point, because there's no reason for him not to let them vote for him if the Republicans can carry the Kavanaugh.
Right. Yeah. There's certainly a lot of logic to your theory here. And what that includes is that Schumer knows he'll need these three on other issues. He will need them on issues that don't pertain to this, where they don't have to be aligned with Trump, even in Trump country, even in their red states. So
the Republicans are going to have to carry the water.
Right. Yep. And let them do the heavy lifting, and they can fall in line and make it happen. And of course, the Democrats can be silent about it. They don't have to go after a Joe Manchin or the other two.
And they can say it's a bipartisan effort.
The other point is, though, is let's say two Republicans don't vote for him. The pressure's on even more.
Yep.
Because the Trump support doesn't care about what another senator, Republican senator, would do in their state. All they would care is what a Republican senator, or excuse me, a Democrat senator is doing in their state.
Because Collins can get away with not voting yes. She can get away with voting no.
Unfortunately.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, so can one of my senators.
Yeah, exactly.
Whose last name represents his character.
Yes, tells you everything about the guy. Yeah, that's and he's one we mentioned too, Jeff Flake. He can certainly get away with it. He doesn't have to worry about another election anytime soon, at least.
Except he has to come back here and live.
Well, there.
And he'll have to face that every day. And I'm not sure he's up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a different kind of pressure. It's not that it isn't important, but, it's certainly a different consideration. But, I think that you could see a Jeff Flake bowing out.
Well,
I don't know where Collins goes.
The only thing is, Flake has, said, yes, he wants to hear more, but Flake was a yes vote.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I just think he'll have to fall into line. I mean, this is the way that guy is. He does this all the time in Arizona.
When we look at the situation, there has to be a real assessment of this. That assessment's not going to happen by a Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, or Elizabeth Warren, or those individuals. But there has to be a real assessment on those who carry this vote on their shoulders. And that is, do we want to turn this situation into anybody being able to gain television time simply by saying so with a story, frankly, that has a lot of missing elements? I don't care who you are or who you believe at this point. You have to look at that story and realize we're talking about something that she says happened when they were teenagers. She really can't provide a lot of the details. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying this thing comes with a certain burden of proof, especially politically, especially at this level, that is not there yet, in my opinion. And I think that is going to be the consideration.
And I had said this earlier, that to a lot of Democrats, this isn't about Trump. It's not about Kavanaugh. It's not about an alleged sexual assault. Mm-hmm. It's about Roe v. Wade. But it's also deeper than that to a lot of, I think, liberals out there. When you look at the Supreme Court, when you look at, for example, presidential executive power under a Republican that has been challenged by federal court judges, that have been put in by liberal presidents, appointed by liberal presidents. You look at the travel ban, for example, absolutely constitutional. Whether you think it was a good idea or not, absolutely constitutional for a president to do. Backed up not only because a president has the executive power in a time of national security to do that, and also the fact that Congress allowed him to do that with the law. Look, we disagree with Trump's We completely disagree with the president when he said that the tariffs are about national strategy. That's a lie. President Trump is lying to you when he says that. It's not about national security. It is the only way that he could use his executive power. Now, Congress allowed him to do that. And so we may disagree with the president on it. We may say the president is lying about the justification of it, but that's up to interpretation. And the only people that can stop him from doing that is Congress, and so far they have not. But he has the authority to do so that was given to him by Congress. I would not argue the constitutional aspect of that.
Right.
I would argue the fact that he's not telling you the truth, because it's not about national security. The steel and aluminum tariffs, when they were put in and they were saying that they, his argument was, national security. Everybody knows that was bogus. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Nobody attempted to defend that. Not even the administration.
No.
It's interesting because they weren't even asked about that. Well, they might have been asked, but it wasn't publicized.
Right.
So national security, how? I never heard the question asked. I'm assuming somebody asked it. I never heard it asked by a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
National security, how?
Mm-hmm.
Make the point. And we've made the point. We've already gone through point by point why it was not about national security, because you're actually more secure if you have friendly allies that have steel making and aluminum making capability for you if you go to war.
Right.
It's just the opposite. So, but there's no constitutional issue there. The problem is you've got judges in there that just because of spite will rule against the president, and will rule against future Republican presidents just out of spite, just because mm-hmm. they're Republicans, mm-hmm. and you need a Supreme Court. You need it to tear down the bureaucratic state, the regulations that have been put in. You need a Supreme Court to continue to enforce Second Amendment rights. You need a Supreme Court like this. When you look at the next 30 years, if he gets Kavanaugh in, which I believe he will,
mm-hmm.
if he gets Kavanaugh in and then gets to appoint another justice, you're talking about 30 to 50 years of a Supreme Court of the country going in a much more constructionist, weaker federal government and stronger states' rights
mm-hmm.
for the next 30 to 50 years. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I look at that and I can sit there and say, okay, if that happens,
yeah,
25 years from now, I can die. It's okay.
Well,
the country's at least moved in that direction.
It's exactly what Andrew Breitbart told us just weeks before he passed. And in early 2012, the question was, as we winded up an interview with him, I asked him, why should conservatives support a moderate like it looked like he was going to be the nominee, and he ended up being the nominee, Mitt Romney. And he said, guys, as I sit right now, I'm a stone's throw from SCOTUS. It's all about SCOTUS. And he's right. He was right.
And he was right because we have seen, I remember 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The country will never recover from Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What do we hear now? The country will never recover from Trump.
Right.
It's all hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
Good and bad presidents come and go. And unless they enact legislation that is permanent, even the tax cuts from this president could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Could be gone by what? Was it 2026? 2025?
Oh, yeah, sure. And this is something we've talked about. Laws can be changed.
Right, laws can be changed.
Executive orders certainly can be changed very easily by the next administration. So you can get all of these. All of these things are not necessarily lasting, and it goes down to the political will of the people. But when you get to the highest court, those are the lasting decisions. That's the lasting effect, something that affects a nation for a very, very long time. And
having that branch of government say, okay, the Constitution says this and doesn't say this, and if you wish it to say it, then you, the people, should vote through the constitutional amendment process.
Right.
Well, that's what I want.
Exactly.
That's what I'd like to see, you know, over the next 30 to 50 years in this country.
It's not to say that those who are maybe lean constructionists, in the case of a Chief Justice Roberts, and we use him as the example, can't make wrong decisions or decisions we disagree with.
We've disagreed with Clarence Thomas and
yes,
his decisions.
Absolutely.
The one we really, trying to think of, you know, Scalia, most of the decisions we agreed with because he came from the point of view of not our personal politics of the day, but
right.
What does the Constitution say and
exactly.
What doesn't it say?
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. So it's set for next Monday.
Yeah. The big circus.
Ms. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm. They will talk about it specifically. She will get to, air her side of the story, and then he will get to air his side of the story. And nothing's going to change about either side. Nothing. Nothing. She's going to still say that. There is no proof with it. And he's still going to deny that, and there's no proof with that. So it comes down to who is believable and politically does anything change? Even with this, does anything change for either those soft Democrats, the Heitkamps and the Manchins of the world and Donnelly, or those middle Republicans, Collins, Murkowski, and Flake?
And politically, how do you what's the presentation that you give? What are the political consultants telling Kavanaugh how to act? Because you had said this during the break. You said, what does he do? How does respond if her testimony, she's crying?
She's going to cry. I believe that's probably going to happen. There's going to be an appeal here, and she wants to be believed. So I believe it will come to that. It will be emotional. And what is his response? Because if he doesn't cry, he's going to look cold. It will definitely be a circuit.
The tone.
Yes.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Hi, welcome. Good morning. Thanks for being here. Well, it was the Emmys last night, and look, some things that they said were accurate.
Okay. We just want to say a quick hello to the thousands of you here in the audience tonight and to the hundreds watching at home.
There you go. Okay, we've got to get to this part, though.
Okay.
And this is all, by the way, this is all in the Emmys, okay? We're not going to, this isn't going to be like a 10-minute thing on the Emmys. All right, just so people know, all right? This statement will cause a lot of controversy today and probably will be played on a lot of talk shows around the country. Here we go, the second part.
Hi, Silver Lining Senior Center.
You know who's not, but my mother's not watching.
What?
Well, she said she doesn't like watching white award shows because you guys don't thank Jesus enough. That's true. The only white people that thank Jesus are Republicans and ex-crackheads. So.
Ambitions out of work.
There you go.
All right. Humor? Was that supposed to be?
I guess so. I don't know.
Okay. I read where Harrison Ford said people need to stop voting for people who don't believe in science. So he doesn't want them to vote for Democrats? I'm not sure where. I thought he was on the left. Harrison Ford.
Well, the thing I found interesting about that statement was, you know, it was perceived as a whole, you know, global warming thing, and he owns a fleet of airplanes.
Yes, he owns a fleet of airplanes, and he's also aligned with the party that believes that if someone says they're the opposite gender or another race, that you should believe them, and if you don't, then there should be punishment against you.
And there's something wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Well, here we go. The circus will be on Monday. The circus will be coming to town. The Republican leader of the Senate Judiciary Committee said Monday. Did I slur through that? That he would convene a new public hearing. Wait a minute here. The Republican leader said on Monday that he would convene a remarkable new public hearings in a week's time. That's next Monday.
Right.
After sexual assault allegations emerged against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Both Kavanaugh and the woman who has accused him of physical and sexual assault, Christina Baisley Ford, will testify before the panel.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Under oath.
Yep.
Under oath. So as we said, there's still, after another day of talking about it, still nothing has changed.
Nope.
Two of his old girlfriends were on, high school girlfriends were on Fox News last night and said we didn't know of any party. We don't, they don't know of the house. They don't, one of them knew of the woman, Ms. Ford.
Mm-hmm.
But, they said nobody knew about the party whatsoever. We know now that, Ms. Ford has said, that she doesn't remember going to the party. She doesn't remember exactly where the party was. She doesn't remember arriving at the party or leaving the party.
Right.
I don't know where there is to go.
Well, again, this comes back to because there is no, there's not going to be any way to prove or disprove anything.
No, you can't.
So it this really only comes down to a handful of votes. A few in the Republican Party. You have Collins, Murkowski, and Jeff Flake. And then and on the left, you have Heidi Heitkamp, you have Joe Manchin, and Donnelly. And so will it change any of those votes? It will. It could. But politically, where is the pressure? Well, the pressure is actually greater, likely, with those Democrats in red states. Collins can get away with a no vote. At least for now, she can. We'll see if Manchin thinks he can. I don't think he can. I don't think Heidi Heitkamp can. I don't think Donnelly can. So Jeff Flake can on the Republican side. So it's actually greater pressure on the Democrats in the red states as opposed to those moderate Republicans, including Jeff Flake, who is not up for re-election in Arizona.
What I'm wondering is, what questions does Kavanaugh answer? The only thing I can think of is, did you ever meet her? And right. That will be a yes or no.
Right. Did you know her at all?
Yeah. Yes
Describe
or no.
Describe your relationship.
Right. Did you associate with her? And I don't know what the answer is going to be. Did you date her? Right. And besides the incident, it's never happened.
Right.
I can't respond to it. Never happened.
Right.
What about the party? And there was never a party.
Right.
Was never there. If there was a party, I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what party she's referring to. She doesn't know what party, but he can't say that.
Right.
But that would be the thing, you know, that I would be thinking if the accusation was against me and I know I'm innocent and you see what she has brought to the table, which is you did it. When? Not sure. Where? Not sure. Well, then you're asking me if I was at a party that she doesn't remember where it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, what time frame it was. She doesn't remember getting there or leaving there. So what questions, if you think about the I'm sure he's getting, you know, legal advice. He said, look, the party never happened. Mark Judge, his friend, who also was accused of being there, never happened.
Right.
What wasn't there? His, you know, a couple of his girlfriends on Fox News, never heard of any party, don't know what place she is speaking of, which is the pool house near the club where we hung out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know where that is.
Right.
So where do you go with this?
Well,
it's not like they had any type of... From what we know, if he didn't date her, mm-hmm. and that has not been brought out, that he dated her in any way.
Right.
If he didn't date her, if he didn't know her, that's the other thing. And now, he didn't say that he didn't know her when her name came out. So he might have been familiar with who she was. But the only questions really can be, what was your relationship?
Right.
Were you friends? Were you not friends? Yeah. And after that, where do you go? It's like, yeah, I knew her. Well, what about the party that I don't know? That's what I'd be thinking. Well, there was no party. I wasn't there. She doesn't know where the party was.
Right.
She says there was an incident that happened at a party that she can't remember where it was, what time it was. She doesn't remember getting there or leaving there. I mean, where do you go?
Here's a decent indication that there is no tangible evidence that is yet to be presented. If you're the attorney for Ms. Ford, then if there were tangible evidence a note that Kavanaugh had written apologizing. Even a picture of them together at what looked like a party and where they appeared to be inebriated, or maybe they were holding alcohol in their hands. Anything like that to back up her story, to add any level of credibility, would have been presented. Because if you're the attorney for Ms. Ford, you're probably looking at that saying, it would be better to present all that evidence in the media, because you can have the same influence on those votes, if that's your goal, which it is, to change the votes. You don't need to have your client under oath in front of the Senate to do that. That tells me there's nothing else to be presented here except for her testimony.
Because in you look at an investigation like this, you would, number one, want to find somebody else, the media at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're trying this in the media, which and it's a political trial and not a legal trial, and that's what I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political trial here.
Right.
You would want to find somebody else who was at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, we don't. Again, nobody has been able to identify where the house was, where the party was, who held the party. She can't remember going there or leaving there, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
And so where do you go with it? You and I talked about this earlier, that one of the things you'd be looking at is, and we would have expected to see by now, here's where the alleged incident took place, mm-hmm. in this quiet neighborhood home that has a pool near the club, which she identified, you know, in her statement to the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, and you'd see the window, there is the bedroom where the incident allegedly took place. And we have found other people that were at the party. Oh, we saw them talking at the party. We've had none of that. It doesn't seem as nobody has come out of the woodwork here. And we're now to Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And this will all be next week. So, and the one witness, alleged witness, said never happened.
Right.
Yep. That they were never at a party.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not even to the point that, okay, we were at the same party, but that never happened. They said there was never a party that they were at. And nobody can remember that particular party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, as this plays out on Monday, you know, again, it is going to be about, you know, believability for that handful of senators. Not for Cory Booker, not for Feinstein, not for Elizabeth Warren. What can change the votes for anyone who was going to be at least at this point, according to the head count, the soft head count, was going to be a yes.
You had brought it up earlier about, you know, believability.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, right, if she cries.
Yes.
If she cries, does that, all right, no, nobody who doesn't cry, when you saw her and you saw the grief on her face, you believed her story.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore,
yep,
Kavanaugh is unsuitable because he must have done it.
And he probably won't cry, which means he's cold and uncaring. There's your display. That right there, forget about the back and forth and the exchanges and hyperbole. That's going to be the display that counts.
And I think it's not that our elected representatives should know of an allegation like this.
Right.
But knowing the political nature of this, mm-hmm, and allegations that are thrown. Look, we've had an allegation for the last 2 years that the president colluded with the Russians to hack the election.
Right.
There's still no evidence after 2 years.
Right.
We know that you have, in this day and age, right now, that party,
mm-hmm,
and the media behind them that will do anything to destroy a presidency.
Yes.
And a presidential election that was done legitimately.
Right.
And try to delegitimize it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in cases like this with the Supreme Court justice, the allegation, not saying you ignore the allegation. You take the allegation, you get all the principles in there, you see if there's any type of evidence, And in this case, there is none, but you don't go on TV with it and you don't make it public.
Right.
Because what you do then is you legitimize the fact that the allegation without any evidence whatsoever to corroborate it 35 years later from a person who, from what we're told, doesn't remember going to the party, mm-hmm. doesn't remember leaving the party, mm-hmm. doesn't know where the party was held. And nobody can remember, as of yet, nobody else is on, I don't know anybody else who is on the record as saying that they were at that party, pro or anti-Kavanaugh.
Right.
Besides Ms. Ford, who was making the allegation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've already destroyed the reputation of a particular person, and it's not a court of law. And there is nobody to corroborate any part of your story at all, not even that a party even existed.
Well, there is no burden of proof for Ms. Ford, who is bringing the accusation about. There is no proof. There is no burden. All you have to do is seem believable. That's it. There's no way to prove or disprove what happened. Again, not that you don't look into it. Not that you don't do an investigation. But to do it in front of the American people, when no one there making a judgment can prove or disprove anything.
There is no evidence.
Well, what you do is, by doing this, you enable dishonesty in the future. Because anyone with any claim can come forward and will be given a national stage. Look, we're all, and I think we've made the point how many times, we're all about transparency. But we have representatives who can look into such matters. When you give someone the national stage to make a claim, you open the door to fraud, dishonesty, to no end. When you set a standard which really has no standards, then you corrupt the system. And that's exactly where we are with this.
866-90-RED-EYE.
All-time tropical storm rain totals in both Carolinas is one of the believed impacts of Hurricane Florence from over the weekend. Yet USDA meteorologist Eric Lubehusen explains these totals are not yet verified.
A lot of these reports are slow coming in because of power outages. And also you had damage to the properties and to the stations themselves. So we are kind of tied right now to the radar-based estimates.
He notes some of the more impressive preliminary precipitation totals originate in the Jacksonville Camp Lejeune area of North Carolina.
We have a co-op report. They've reported nearly 31 inches. That was through Sunday. The highest report I've seen so far is from a volunteer observer. They had reported over 31 inches as of September 15th.
And concerns grow about additional precipitation caused by Florence's feeder bands still over parts of North Carolina, as well as the threat of dam failures as several dams have topped their banks. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, we think it's very important because this has been going on for over 2 years, and now the president has finally stated that he will do as the Republicans wish him to do on the House Intelligence Committee, and that is he will release the documents related to the Carter Page FISA warrant. He will declassify them, sending Democrats going crazy. will address her craziness.
For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
Most of our professional drivers and truckers know that we have major road concerns in terms of flooding and closures in portions of the Mid-Atlantic. If you're a motorist not often through the Carolinas, do remember I-40 from Raleigh southeast, I-95, I-85 north and south, you could run into road closures. And on most state roads in North Carolina and South Carolina in the Lowcountry, you will run into road closures due to flooding. Rains continued today from the remnants of Florence, mainly on the western side of the Appalachians and the Great Smokies. That system, as it remains, will be moving up through West Virginia, portions of Southwest and Northern Virginia into D.C., and then Jersey and New York City. And with the exception of some light rain from Des Moines to Milwaukee today, most of the country will remain dry. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Provocateurs, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So let's tell a little story here and look at the big picture.
Okay.
All right, tell a little story.
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago, year and 9 months ago,
yeah,
is when we first started hearing that the Trump campaign and Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election.
Right.
All right. Something that that allegation is true, very serious thing to investigate, correct?
Sure, yes.
Right. Anybody disagree?
No.
That somebody running for office might have colluded with the Russians to hack the actual election machines. That was the original charge. Then it was colluded with the Russians to change the outcome of the election.
Right.
So it became less specific as, lack of evidence showed that they couldn't find any evidence that any of the election machines were actually hacked into and the vote totals changed, even though the majority of Democrats, as of a month ago, still believe that the vote counts were changed in the 2016 election.
Correct. Right.
Which shows you the promotion of fake news can convince people of a story that is completely false years after, almost 2 years after that election.
Mm-hmm.
But the first allegation, Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election machines and change the outcome of the election. All right?
Yep.
So the investigation has gone on still to this day. Now it's Trump colluded with the Russians to change the outcome of the election, but there is no specific allegation of how he did so. Meanwhile, what we have learned since then, on the Democrat side, we know that the Democrats, the DNC, and the Hillary campaign paid money to a law firm, Perkins Coie, who gave that money to an opposition research firm that does opposition research. You're a political candidate. You're running. Get dirt on the person running against me. Both Republicans and Democrats have used them before. But in this case, this was the Democrat money that was using going through the law firm, which then went to Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm, got an ex-spy and said, get us information. We'll pay you this money. I believe it was roughly $160,000-something. He then went and got information that he said came from people very close to the Kremlin, Russians,
yeah,
who then took that unverified, salacious information used it in order to destroy the Trump campaign. And then when they weren't able to destroy the Trump campaign, tried to delegitimize the election of 2016.
Correct.
That information, which was paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC, then was used. We don't know how much of it was, but we know that it was used to get a secret warrant to spy on a very low-level volunteer campaign worker of the Trump campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what they listened to and what they got. We don't know how far it went. We don't know, still, if he was the only one. We know that there were hundreds of unmaskings that were done of FISA warrant-related surveillance. And we know that because former UN Secretary Samantha Power, it was... when they found out, why were you unmasking hundreds of times surveillance that was done? And she said, I didn't do it. Well, that's where we are today. We think that all of those things, the initial allegation of Donald Trump, if true, and we are now over 2 years into the investigation with both the FBI and the special counsel, and still not one specific allegation of collusion. We got specific allegations and the evidence all over the place for Hillary Clinton and the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee, because they lead it. It's a House Intelligence Committee. The majority leads that organization.
Right.
Are doing their own investigation, because we know that after the Trump allegations came out and after Trump fired Comey and Comey quit, he leaked information, Comey did, in order to get a special counsel to look into Donald Trump colluding with the Russians to hack the election. That investigation is still going on today without any specific allegation ever even leaked that Trump did it, and no evidence through all of the prosecutions so far and all of the plea deals of any collusion with the Trump campaign to either hack the election machines or change the outcome of the election. That investigation is going on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, on the other side, in the other branch of government, is the legislative branch. They are doing their own investigation, not on Trump. They're looking at abuses by the FBI and the Department of Justice in the FISA warrant application.
Separate investigation.
Separate, complete investigation from the Mueller investigation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not investigating the same things.
Right.
Congress, through the majority, which are the Republicans, and the majority gets to run things in our system of government, they have asked for information from the FBI because, as we know from the information that's been released already, a lot of politics were being played in the FBI on this investigation, both Hillary and the Trump investigation.
Mm-hmm.
The members of the House Intelligence Committee believe that the information that they have gotten shows, they believe, prejudice and the politicalization of the FBI to get Donald Trump, even when the evidence wasn't there. They're making the claim that they believe that things were done wrong in getting a secret warrant on an American citizen, and they want it released to the public. They have petitioned the President of the United States in their investigation of the FBI and intelligence agencies or anybody else who might be involved in it. They have petitioned the president to declassify that information in order for the American public to see what they say is the truth of what has gone on here. That's basically the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump has said he will declassify it so we can see. We have Adam Schiff coming out and saying President Trump in clear abuse of power. We have asked the question, what abuse of power? Here is Representative Eric Swalwell. Lawless. He is absolutely lawless. Donald Trump is the subject of an investigation. Using his power to selectively release classified information is an abuse of power.
He can't be lawless and also using his power.
Right. Contradicted yourself, Eric, not you,
no.
Miss Eric.
No, I'll do that later.
Representative Eric Swalwell.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're trying to have it both ways.
Yep.
He has the authority. And this is not, he is not a subject of that investigation.
Nope.
That is going on in the House.
And nor does this hinder anything that's going on, right, or disrupt anything that's going on with the Mueller investigation. So there, it does not, it is a separate investigation and cannot impede Mueller in the slightest.
No, doesn't impede Mueller in the slightest.
Doesn't take away from his power, doesn't fire anybody, it doesn't do any of that.
And Trump does not, is not an abuse of power.
Nope.
For Trump to respond to a request from the legislative branch, mm-hmm, saying we are investigating, we have oversight over these departments.
Yep.
We, the elected representatives of the people, have oversight. We wish these things to be declassified because we believe they show corruption and dirt inside of federal law enforcement, and we want these things declassified. Trump hasn't asked for the declassification.
No, no.
In fact, he has refused over the last couple of months,
mm-hmm,
when we have advised him to do it.
Right.
But there is no abuse of power here whatsoever. Representative Eric Swalwell, he's not an idiot.
Nope.
He knows what he is saying is untrue. Eric Swalwell knows he is lying.
Yep.
Adam Schiff knows he's lying.
Yep.
Here's Adam Schiff. In a clear abuse of power, there's no abuse of power.
Nope.
He has decided to intervene a pending law enforcement investigation. No, he is not.
No.
The law enforcement investigation is the Mueller investigation.
It's separate.
That is separate from the House Intelligence Committee.
Yep.
Are these people stupid or what?
It does not keep Mueller from getting more information from the Justice Department. It does not keep Mueller from issuing an indictment on Trump or anybody else associated with the campaign if he finds evidence that points in that direction.
But I say the stupid comment in all sincerity because we have talked about the fact that the majority of America has no idea about the separation of powers. They don't know the three branches of government.
Right.
I have to ask, do the Democrats understand the separation of powers and the three branches of government?
They know that many of their constituents do not understand.
Okay. So they can
play on it.
So they can lie.
Yes.
Okay.
That gives them plenty of breathing room, which is why, and we say we don't believe people are stupid. They can be willfully ignorant. But the Democrats need you to be stupid. They believe you're stupid. They believe you're incapable of finding the truth.
His other argument is, this is Adam Schiff, I have been previously informed by the FBI and the Justice Department that they would consider their release a red line that must not be crossed as they may compromise sources and methods. Sorry, you've already claimed that before,
yep,
and you lied to the American public before,
yep,
on it,
yep,
when it came to the Republican memo. You screamed and yelled and said sources and methods and names of people. We even heard from the Democrats that this could get people killed. We found out they were lying to you. What they were, mm-hmm, protecting were their own posteriors.
Yeah.
And finally, Adam Schiff, this is evidently of no consequence to a president who cares about nothing about this country and everything about his narrow self-interest. Well, excuse me, your whole defense is a lie, Adam Schiff. So you are the one, in my humble opinion, who cares nothing about the country because you are lying.
Mm-hmm.
You've been caught lying before on this.
That right.
You're lying again.
Yep. Because he knows he's not going to be called on the media by the media on this. And he knows he can get away with it time and time again. And that's his MO. If you have evidence and you know that there's evidence, then you believe that Mr. Comey, because what are we going to learn? We're going to learn about texts that were sent by Comey, that were sent by Lisa Page and Strzok. We are going to learn about the process of obtaining the warrant at the FISA court level on Carter Page. Certainly, Because remember what Adam Schiff and all of the Democrats told us. Well, this was all part of the process. This is how we learned that Trump did this. Well, then you're still saying Trump did it, which means that certainly this is going to prove it.
Remember, Adam Schiff, and it's very important to separate Adam Schiff from anybody else because he has said, well, he has seen the evidence of collusion.
Right.
Well, then this has to show it. Then you want more transparency.
Right.
You should be screaming more transparency, not less.
This is going to either get us further in that direction of uncovering that truth, that proof that you say exists, that you say you've seen, or it's going to show it outright. This is going to contain that proof, one or the other.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The Detroit powertrain offers efficiency through innovation. Detroit's Brad Williamson has all the details.
A lot of the people in the industry have been doing downspeeding for a while. This is really our first entry into that arena, if you will. So we've combined a DD15 mm-hmm. with a DT12 automated transmission and a 6x2 axle. And you can also get a 6x4, but really it's a complete powertrain. All three pieces, including a front axle, obviously all four pieces, are from Detroit. And it also has something in the transmission called intelligent powertrain management. It's a better step towards predictive technology. So it looks a mile in front of you when you're driving. It knows the territory and the terrain you're going to come up on, and it manages the engine and the transmission the most optimally as that it can when you're in cruise control.
For more on the Detroit powertrain, log on to demanddetroit.com. For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carney. I'm Gary McNamara. So the Sunspot Solar Observatory in New Mexico, remember it was closed?
Right.
And they're saying maybe because they discovered aliens because they look at sunspots.
Yes.
Now they say it was, here's a headline, mysterious FBI closing of Sunspot Solar Observatory is finally explained. And they said it was criminal activity, but they won't explain the criminal activity. And I'm like, well, then it's not been explained.
Aliens broke in. That's the problem.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.